Well, it's good to be here for this last message. He endured till the end. Amen. So you always know you're in trouble when you're the pastor to start the service says something about the last message. Then at the very end, he says, "I'd be fine if the rapture just took place." And you realize it's good to be here. No, praise the Lord. We've really enjoyed it. Who was responsible for that food basket? Was that kind of a conglomeration of effort? We walked into our room. There's this basket. No kidding. It's the size of three grown people put together. About this, and it's deep. And the further you dug in it, the more is in there. And none of it's good for you. Like, all of it's good. But there was no vitamin C. And, you know, I guess you could have pressed some out of something down on the bottom. There's some tangerines down there. So they were a little healthy. But it was all junk food, and we looked at it and said, "Man, that's a feed an army. There's nothing left of that basket." We got looking at it this afternoon, and you guys have fed us like kings, and somehow that basket, while we were gone, people were sneaking into our room, eating snacks out of our basket. I have no idea how a guy can be so gluttonous, but I've been it this week. I've enjoyed the food. I've enjoyed the fellowship. Enjoyed getting to see you as a church. I don't know that I have the words that really express this, but I love church. And I love what God does in a local church. You get a big universal crowd, you don't get that. You don't get to see the parts working together. I love what I see at Calvary. It's just a solid, rock-solid church doing the work of God. And my prayer is one day you stand before God and the Lord just honors you with what you deserve. I believe that with all my heart. There'll be a "well done, thou good and faithful Calvary Baptist." Means a lot to me. There's a lot of different things that preachers are, perhaps we get acquaintances along the journey of life, and a lot of it's about brethren, other preachers, and some of them are, you know, big shots or whatever. But there's nothing that captures my desire as much as seeing a local church working together in unity. And I've seen that tonight, all week actually. The mega men kind of brought it together. I got invited to sing with you guys. That wouldn't have been, I'm glad that didn't happen for your sake. But I enjoyed just watching. I was probably the only man sitting out there, but that's all right. I enjoy just watching a group of men serve the Lord together. That does me good. Amen. So thank you. Thank you for letting us be here. Let's take our Bible tonight, if you would, to 2 Peter, where we've been all week. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll pick it right up in verse 5 again. It says, "Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank you that you gave us words that are not man's ideology, they're not philosophies, they're not merely, as Peter says, they're not words to try and somehow draw us. They're your words. We have a more sure word of prophecy. And Lord, thank you that these are the same words that have been preserved through our generations. Our forefathers read these exact same words that you encouraged them with. So Lord, tonight I pray that you would take us where we need to go individually or as a church. Lord, take us by the hand and lead us to a place that you'd have us to look over and view and understand a little bit more about this subject. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In in our passage, we've probably consumed a lot of this and left most of it out. As you no doubt are aware of, there's no way to bring all these words in for a full study in a week's time. It's just not going to happen. But we've been able to identify that it's very imperative that our faith fail not. If our faith fails, it's too big of a price to pay. Verse 9 identifies that lacking these things, that blindness, that nearsightedness, that forgetfulness, that's just too big of a price to pay. There's way too much at stake than to fall. And that's what I love about what it says at the end of verse 10. It says, "For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." Now, there's a lot of things that are important about that verse, and maybe one of those for Calvary Baptist is the word "ye," especially signifying that this is a group effort. This is a "ye," it's a collective plural, so it's the idea that we are in this together, and I leave myself out, I'm not a member here, but a local church is in this together. As a body, they work together, and these parts all work together, not just on an individual level, but on a corporate level. And perhaps there's other parts of that are encouraging to you, but I value this so much. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. Did you see that word "never"? That's a pretty good word, isn't it? Amen. That's a really good word when it comes to identifying, I don't want to fall. And then it says, well, here's how you can never fall. Hey, praise the Lord, I like that. Amen. So as we've looked through this, we've identified, all right, there's four things that you add that, you know what, they're individual, they're internal, you don't always see these things. In fact, the revealing of those is found in godliness. And then the living or the application of those is going to be found in brotherly kindness, which means you just simply like to do things. You like that reaction towards each other, responsibility towards each other. And then it concludes, the last one is in charity. To add charity, it says up in verse 7, and to brotherly kindness, charity. And that charity is that contractual love, that commitment love, that absolute, whether I feel good or not, whether I want to or not, I'm in. Amen. And add those things, all of those, whether they're the internal or the external application or manifestation of these things, all of those give us, to me, one of the most encouraging verses in the entire Bible. And I want to share it with you tonight. You've already read it. We read it together. But I want to share it with you for an entire evening. Just look at this verse, verse 11. It says this, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." There is so much there. I would like to just, I'm not sure what the right word is, but I'd just like to have a little bit of a praise session right on verse 11. Just to think about all this effort of Christianity seems to be a ministering unto, and here's a return of that investment. It says, no, there'll be a ministering unto you. You receive something. And so it says in verse 11, there's a few key words, and I just want to bring attention to them, then we'll get into the message. It says, for so, an entrance. The word "so" means like what you just saw, that's how it's going to work. In the manner we just read about, this is what it's going to look like. So these things that we're going to apply, the internal things, the external things that get added on to that foundation of faith, the Lord says, for so, you add these things, verse 10 says, you shall never fall. And based on that, the response is, there's something going to be ministered unto you in that same reciprocal or receiving of, you get something amazing. Verse 11 says, for so an entrance. We're going to look at that later, so I don't want to spend too much time on these words. But entrances, they're different than walls, right? Unless you're down at the southern border. Entrances, entrances kind of narrowed down, like, here's where you got to go. You got to go through this door, right? It's a gateway. It's there to define how and where and why. It says, for so an entrance, the how, where, why, so an entrance shall be ministered. The word minister is a unique word. It's a word that indicates to furnish you with everything you need and put it right there beside you. Like it's wherever you're at, it's going to be right there, handy. Amen? Right beside where you're at. And the Lord has a way of furnishing or perhaps nourishing every step of this journey. If an individual simply decides, I'm going to add to my faith, and they make that a lifetime commitment, the Lord promises. He says, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered. Every step of the way, through every entering of those gates, there'll be right beside you everything you need. Praise the Lord. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We leave and we forsake. He won't do that. Amen. He has commitment far beyond human level. And praise the Lord for that. It says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Abundantly. That word abundantly just simply summarizes everything we've been thinking about. It's like, how much do I need? Well, there'll be that and a little bit more. You know, how much help do I really need to get through this entrance, this step, this problem, this temptation? Well, there'll be everything you need and a little bit more. In fact, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Amen. But he hath made a way of escape. In fact, you can endure those things because of this abundantly that God ministers to us. Amen. It's just exciting to me to stop and think, and I hope it's encouraging. Honestly, that's the point tonight, is to try and be an encouragement to you, because all these things we've looked at, building our faith or adding on top of our faith, they've been kind of tough. Maybe they're not tough on you. Maybe they were just encouraging or reminders. But quite honestly, my human nature finds those seven things just a little awkward, a little tough to get real about and add those. This is a very encouraging part of that. So tonight, if you'll bear with me one final time, and I hope you do. Pastor may not. I think he's praying for rapture to come or something. So, no, I'm teasing. But in reality, if you bear with me one more time, I want to leave you with something that hopefully you can just get your eyes on the goal. Get your eyes on tomorrow. There will be enough of today. Sufficient therein is the evil thereof, or sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There will be enough of today to burden us down. If I can help you lift up your eyes just a little bit off of this life and look forward to that entrance, there's a tremendous goal at the end of it. And oh, it's a wonderful goal. I hope that can be an encouragement to you. To do this verse justice, I'd like to preach it backwards, okay? Maybe that's the wrong way to do it. What seems to help in my mind to preach it from the bottom end and kind of work our way up. It helps to identify what's going on here. So let's do that. Verse 11 says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me just identify a couple of real basic things here. And they're kind of capstones, but we're putting them underneath, all right? And the first is this. There is an everlasting Lord. There absolutely is an everlasting Lord. He doesn't need to be voted in, and he will never be voted out. He doesn't need to be buoyed up, and he'll never be suppressed. There is an everlasting Lord. The word Lord in your Bible is a word that indicates he who owns, he who masters. He's the boss. Amen. There is one who is absolute Lord. And the Bible uses the word everlasting. Everlasting means never ending. So it not only has no beginning, but it obviously has a lordship that knows no ending. In fact, in verse 11, he calls him the Lord and Savior. I believe because he's Lord, he is Savior. And because he's Savior, he's Lord. I think those two go together. And that's why they're connected with the and word there to join them. The word Savior means he can deliver me no matter what the trap or the trial or the trouble. Amen. He is the everlasting Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. By the way, if He's going to be your Savior, He must be your Lord. If He's going to be your Lord, He will be your Savior. You can't separate the two and say, I'm going to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, but He's not got the right to tell me what to do. Amen. You can't separate the two. They come together. He is Lord and Savior, all in one. Amen. To those who will reject Him as Lord, I will say this, they've also rejected Him as Savior. In fact, look if you would over to Colossians chapter 2, and you want to hold your hand there in 2 Peter, because we will be spending a little more time, more of a study on this particular verse tonight. But Colossians chapter 2, if you would, and verse 6, this is a pretty good summary of how the Lord works in our life. Let me just get there myself. Colossians 2 and verse 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. If He is Lord, He's going to show up in our walk, isn't He? If He's Lord, that just simply is going to be very easy to identify. We kind of looked at that last night in godliness, didn't we? Where that God-likeness. If He's Lord, He's going to show up in our walk. And I'm just encouraged, He's an everlasting Lord. You don't have to relearn the rules. Amen. You don't have to figure out, well, this brother thinks this and this brother thinks this. Brother, what do you think? You don't have to worry about that. All you have to do is go to the Lord and say, what do you want? As you have learned, so walk. If you've received Him as Lord, so walk in Him. Look over to Hebrews, if you would, chapter 7. And let me be very clear tonight. Jesus Christ does save those who come unto Him and receive Him as Lord. He's the everlasting Lord and Savior. He's not short in His reach. He's not heavy in His ability to hear the plea and the cry for help. He is a very present help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 says this, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost. Now, I've done a little study on the word uttermost. I have not figured it out. I honestly, I can figure out what the word means. I got dictionary capacity in my study. But it blows my mind. It blows my mind. The things that I would like to see the Lord do, He is so far past that. The things that sometimes I pray about and sometimes get burdened over, His Lordship is so far past that. He's able to save them or deliver them, lead them, guide them to the uttermost. No matter where it goes, He's able to be there. Man, there's just a lot in there I don't want to spend all night. We'll be here very long, and you don't want to be here very long, do you? Amen. One of you, amen. I heard a slight guttural. All right, verse 25, He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. What a privilege. What a God that would ever make intercession for folks like you and I. Folks that struggle, folks that just have good days, have struggle days, have days where it's all together and days where it seems like it all falls apart. There's a Savior in heaven. He's the Lord and He's everlasting. He's never ending. He will be Lord. There's a few things that perhaps you can take away from that tonight. I know I do. One is very clear. I don't have to go find new rules. I don't have to find changes. He is the Lord. He changes not. I don't have to kind of keep up with Him. I just need to figure out, all right, Lord, are You my Lord? If You are, let's go for it. And by the way, I'm glad He is my Lord. I hope He's yours tonight. If He's your Lord, He's your Savior. If He's your Savior, He's your Lord. And they go together. Back in 2 Peter chapter 1, let's keep moving because I got a zillion points. I have no idea how many a zillion is, but it's at least four. I know it's more than we want to spend too much time on one point, but it says in verse 11, if we backed up, it says there's an everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let me focus a moment on that second level moving up, is we also have an everlasting kingdom. everlasting. Nations come and go. I appreciate this is obviously a very military-oriented community, a church that believes in our nation and has supported the freedom of people, not only in our nation, but in other nations. And I value that. I know many of you have spent many, sacrificed many birthday parties and anniversaries and, yay, even scars and wounds and potentially life of loved ones because you believe in that. But I'm glad we have a kingdom that is not as limited as someone up in an office making a decision that we lose what we had. I'm glad we have a kingdom that is everlasting. It is not limited at all. Nations come and go. Kingdoms on this earth, they come and go. But there is one kingdom, ladies and gentlemen. It is everlasting. It is not finished. It is not even remotely ended. In fact, you could say this, it's just getting ready to start. Isaiah, if you would, chapter 45. Isaiah 45, and I don't mean to say something that would trigger a theological or misnomer at all. That's not my point. The point is simply you and I are just entering into some areas of His kingship that really will identify who's really running everything. Amen. Isaiah 45 and verse 23 says this. It says, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. Isn't that good? When the Lord just says something, it's done. Isn't that a blessing? He's not a politician, is he? Lord, he'd make a horrible politician. He just says truth, first time, and never changes. But look what he says about this truth. He says that, verse 23, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. You know, Jesus, He is King. He is not second. He is not kind of a standby just in case other things fail. He's not looking for someone to usher in a moment where He can finally succeed to His kingship. He is King. He is Lord. He is already there, and we have an everlasting kingdom. And every knee will bow. I would encourage you, if you're here tonight and you have an ear to hear, make sure your knee bows in this life. The next eternity is not a good time to find your knee forcefully bent and your tongue forcefully confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Make sure you do that voluntarily. Amen. He is King. He will not be unthroned or dethroned. I don't care how many people don't like Him. I don't care how many people reject Him. I don't care how wide the road is that leads to destruction. There is a King, and He's an everlasting King with an everlasting kingdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He'll never be unseated. He'll never be dimmed in the light of other kings. In fact, the Bible says often, there is none else. Amen. When you see Him, you realize there's no one else. He will not be ruled by man. He will not be ruled by woman. He will not be ruled by teen. He will not be ruled by church. He will not be ruled by a vote. He is King. And He has His kingdom. His rule will take over all refusal and rebellion because He is King. His kingdom is forever. By the way, His kingdom will never be driven by force in this life. It will be driven by freedom. We have a freedom, if I could say it that way, we have a freedom of choice. And today you can receive the Lord or you can reject the Lord. You can receive any level of the Lord or reject any level of the Lord, but that doesn't change Him. It's an everlasting kingdom. Look over to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Almost feel like preaching tonight. Amen. Matthew 25 and verse 34 says this, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand. Do you see the word king there? See how it's capitalized? He is King of kings, and all the kings are lowercase. They're voted in. They're family driven. He's not. He is God. And it says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he goes on instructing, but look down at verse 41 if you would. It says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And he goes through again, very, very similar teaching. But there's two very drastic differences with the king. Some get to come. Some must depart. There's no gray. There's no purgatory. There's no holding tank. In the sense, there is a hell, which will later become the lake of fire. But there's no beyond that paradise time. There's no, maybe this will work out. Maybe I'll figure it out. Maybe someone will burn incense for me. Maybe someone will pray for me. No, none of that. It's on you. You and I have that liberty, that freedom to voluntarily say, He is King. He is Lord. And I'm good with that. Amen? And praise the Lord for those who have faith as their foundation. And they add to their faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For those folks who just spend their life trying to somehow make sure, I don't want to fall. I don't want to fail my God. I don't want to disappoint He who has never disappointed me. For folks like that, that just give their soul, like folks like you, the Bible's so good to say, you have an everlasting kingdom. One day He'll wipe away all tears. Amen. Those trials, those tests will seem so far away. What about until then? Well, I'm glad you asked. Philippians 4 and verse 19. You did ask, didn't you? Thought I heard that. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need. You remember that word ministered? For so an entrance shall be ministered. It's the compound of literally what I need and being right beside me. It's the word furnish and beside. My God shall supply all your need. You'll never be in a valley so deep that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with an everlasting kingdom can't supply your need right there in the valley. You'll walk through valleys this preacher has never walked through. And I know that. And I think we understand that none of us have experienced all. But I have an high priest which is very, very, very touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We have not a high priest that cannot accomplish what He promised. Amen. But in all points He was tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find grace and help in time of need. I kind of maligned that verse a bit. But I'm so thankful that I have a God that will take care of everything. Say, what if He runs out? Oh, He won't run out. It's an everlasting kingdom. Amen. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He even owns all the B2s. That's a lot. Was there about 20 times 2.5? That's more money than I got in my wallet. He's got it all figured out. He owns peace. He owns the comfort when the heart is broken. I can't express. I've never walked through the valleys that some of our folks have, but I'll never forget one day sitting beside a deathbed with little lady sitting there on her, kneeling beside the bed of her husband. Husband's laying there, a dear friend of mine. Hadn't spoken in a little while. He was on his last journey and he's fighting, his body's fighting. And I told the wife, I said, hey, Miss Donna, let's go outside and let's talk for a moment. We stepped outside in the lobby and I said, can I show you something from the scriptures? And I showed her a few places in the Bible where it was a time. I said, are you okay with that? Because I think it's time. And she, with big alligator tears rolling down her face, she said, yes, I'm okay with that. I said, what do you say we go in and tell your husband it's okay? She said, will you help me? I said, I'm right here. We walked back in that hospital room. I wasn't in her valley. But I got to walk beside her. Saw her kneel down, hold her husband's hand, and say, I just want you to know it's okay if you want to go home, it's okay. That old man, he's got big old hands about the size of a frisbee. He hadn't said a word in a day and a half or so. He's been kind of out. He all of a sudden his eyes lit up. He raised his hands to heaven. And he said, "Well, glory, I'm coming home." It's just a matter of what, a couple hours? He was gone. Those tears haven't stopped. That's been a long time. She still has tears, but in those tears, she has something deeper. She'll catch me every now and then. She'll say, "Pastor, do you know how good God's been?" She said, "Every time I hurt, I get more comfort than the pain ever hurt." I said, "No, I've never walked through that." I said, "But I can see it all over you, Miss Donna. You got something." Amen. And I'm telling you, that's our God. There's an everlasting kingdom. It's not short on wiping away tears. In fact, there's a bottle or a vial of tears that are kept. There's all sorts of things that God just illustrates in the Bible that indicates that He's not leaving us. He's not forsaking us. We're not just a guinea pig of a trial or an experiment. He didn't inoculate us from the world and then just sit back and say, "Well, we'll see how that thing works out. Never tried that before." No, He's an everlasting Lord. He's an everlasting Savior. And He has an everlasting kingdom. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, you may be adding to your faith things that they take every ounce of energy you have, but it will be worth it all. Amen. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And I believe even along the way, God shall supply my needs, even along the journey. Again, I've been through my things. I haven't been through yours. But I would say if we sat down and compared notes, we'd find the same God. He was there when we needed Him. Amen. I hope you know Him. I don't mean to assume that everyone knows Him or assume that someone does. I just hope you know Him. It would be horrible to go through this life assuming or somewhat holding on to a figment of thought that maybe I'll go to heaven when this is all over. Man, that our heavenly, we're seated in heavenly places right now. Our relationship is alive right now. It's not just after we die. Amen. It's an eternal or everlasting kingdom. Let's go back, if you would, to our text, because there's another thought we need to add unto this. In 2 Peter chapter 1, towards the end of verse 11 there, it says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly." And I would just say it this way, there's an ever abundant ministry. The word abundant, if you remember right, it's just the word of rich or copious. It means whatever it is, there's so much of it. Whatever is needed, there's more than you need. Look at some truths in the Bible. Revelation, if you would, chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, and notice what it says in verse 17. Revelation 7, 17. "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Look, if you would, at Revelation 21, just on that same thought. Revelation 21 and verse 4. Revelation 21 and verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." I guess what I'm just saying is it seems like the things that overwhelm us the most, He can handle. Amen. The things that we would honestly say, Lord, I don't want to go there. Lord, I would, you know, take my house, take my car, take my leg, but I don't want to go there. I don't want to lose my spouse or my child or Lord, those, my God can go there. All I'm saying is the areas that to you and I may seem the most ominous, He's been there. He can go there. And what a tremendous blessing to understand He has an ever abundant ministry in that realm. It's not limited. It's not doled out in little portions. And when you use yours up, you just got to wait until the next payday. You don't get an annual supply where hopefully, you know, this one lasts. But the promises of my God are fresh and new every day. And I can go to Him with every trial and with every issue. And literally, it's ever abundant what He has there available. Man, praise the Lord. When I'm adding things to my life and I don't understand, Lord, I don't get this. Why am I adding this? Life is pretty tough today. Boy, it's good to know in the midst of all that, God reaches out and says, look right beside where you're walking, look right beside there. See that big fountain of living water? It's all there. I haven't left you, I haven't forsaken you. Just reach down and grab you some. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's so good. Look over to Psalm 36. Psalm 36. I think we could all, probably most, especially you older ones, could probably stand and give testimony that would shame me and my testimony of God's goodness in my life. But quite honestly, we could pass around the microphone and we could identify very quickly, He's been in every depth of trial we've ever imagined. He can handle all of that. There's nothing, I'm not sure how to preach this, but you stay faithful to God, He'll stay faithful to you in ways that you can't imagine. You just do suck up and match up and meet up. You'll be amazed what God just steps in and says, I got the rest. I got you. Amen. That may not be good theology, but I tell you what, as far as laying that out homiletically, but that's really good preaching. He'll meet your needs. He'll supply your needs. It's ever abundant. Look at Psalm 36 and verse 8. Psalm 36 verse 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Wow. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. I don't know what all that means. I can read, but I'm just saying that's good stuff. That God can take me in the United States of America in 2023 coming up, when perhaps there's going to be droughts of depth that we've never known. And God can just say, I'll take care of you, I'll satisfy you. Imagine God taking a Calvary Baptist church in the middle of a world like we live in and carving out a place where you can raise your children and watch your grandchildren serve the Lord and have peace in your home and have a pleasant relationship with your spouse and the Lord just calm down your employers and all the laws around you. Imagine what God can do. He can make a table in the wilderness. I have a great God, and praise the Lord. You just keep adding to your faith, and it's amazing what God can abundantly minister to you and I. John 10 and verse 10. John 10 and verse 10. Bible here says, have you noticed as I get preaching, like first point, I'm really good. I'm out, in and out in like 2 minutes. You notice that? By third point, I can't hardly get out of it. I'm glad there's only a zillion points tonight. Otherwise, we'd be here a long time. John 10 and verse 10. Let's get there and I'll quit small talking. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. Have you seen that in your neighborhood? Have you? Amen. You see that down the grocery store? I'm telling you what, there's people from the youngest walks of life to ones that you think should know better, they're old enough. And they got so much thief, kill, destroy written all over them. I'm watching lives and I'm like, how'd you get so mutilated by life? Folks that have been destroyed and ripped apart by Satan. You know them. You can identify them. You can see them and say, oh, that man, I used to know him. Maybe we knew him as a young man. I'm telling you what, the thief does that, but look at what God does. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. God comes into the same wilderness where people are so distraught that they're taking their own life. They're trying to cut their way to some euphoria. And God takes that same wilderness and says, I'll give you a life that'll match heaven. Wow, what a God. Give you such height even in the midst of some problematic times. Ephesians 3:20, you know that verse? Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, unto him be glory at Calvary Baptist Church. I didn't quote that exact, as you noticed. That's where it's at. Somehow a church just saying, Lord, you've done it all. You took me out. How many of you used to be lost? All right, that's kind of what I was thinking. All right, God took you out of that. He took you out of that mess. He put you in a place of life, a place of living waters. And he said, if you just keep going the right direction, there's always going to be a supply right beside you. It's an ever-abundant ministry. He's never failed you. Let me go through some thoughts for you tonight. You don't want to miss the comfort of the comforter. You don't want to miss the victory of the victor. You don't want to miss the wonder of the wonderful. You don't want to miss the counsel of the Prince of Peace. You don't want to miss the help of the helper of the helpless. You don't want to miss the I can do of the one who is the great I am. You don't want to miss the might of the Almighty. You do not want to miss the prize of the Most High. All I'm saying is there's so much there. You don't want to miss it. Sometimes I think Christians can also be tempted by Satan to get their eyes off of what it's all about. Their eyes off of tomorrow, eternity. Next thing you know, they forget everlasting. He has a kingdom. He's everlasting. And he has an abundant, ever abundant ministry. I think we can get our eyes off that and start kind of digging into this old world. God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen. And it's very clear. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, I quoted verse 3 and 4 earlier, but verse 5 says this, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never. What a promise. There it's a singular. It's I will never leave thee. It's all alone, it's 2 in the morning. Nor forsake thee. Forsake thee means give me a call in the morning, let me know how it worked out. No, he'll never leave thee, never forsake thee. Praise the Lord. When I'm alive, yes. When I'm dead, yes. Amen? I don't get saved at death. I am saved. I'm a child of God, present tense. It just continues after I leave the body. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the last thing we'll be done. I said a zillion. This is number zillion. All right, back in our text, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, abundantly. I just want to draw one final thought tonight, and that is that word entrance. It's an ever narrow entrance. The word entrance is a word that indicates this is the way in. Entrance, you enter into. If you notice a few things about the word entrance, number one, it's singular. There are not entrances. Amen. Well, you do it that way, I'm going to do it this way. No, there's entrance. There's not. Also in John, another thing we notice about the word entrance is it protects. It identifies that you can't go in anywhere else. You have to go in here, but it's a protected zone. It's the idea of a gate that can swing open or slam shut, right? It's the idea of an entrance. Just like you, how many of you have entrances to your house, right? The unwanted stay outside. The wanted come inside, right? He has an ever narrow entrance. There's only one. It's the example in Scripture. And it's very clear. And what I've, by God's grace, given you this week and the Lord's given me this week, I told someone today, I said, if no one else has benefited, I've benefited this week. I know that. But adding to my faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, to patience, godliness, and godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. If adding those things, if that's the way, if that's the way God said do it, then that's the only way. That's not one of the ways. Preach that one like every an entrance. For in that exact frame, that's where the entrance is. That's where the door is. If I want to find peace with the everlasting Lord, and I want to find that deliverance from the everlasting Savior, and I want to find that kinship with that everlasting kingdom, and I want to have that opportunity for that never-ending and ever-abundant ministry to me, then I have to go through the ever narrow door. It must be done His way, or it simply won't be done. I quote this, portions of it. This one I can't, and it needs to be done correctly. It says, enter ye, verse 13, Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the straight gate. Folks don't like church because it's too straight. Well, you talk to God about that. As God's the one who said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There's a lot of religions that, unfortunately, verse 23 is probably going to be what they hear. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, and I'd be remiss not to leave you with this tonight. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when we backward our verse that we've been looking at, verse 11 of 2 Peter 1, we realize, and the promptly a requirement for you and I, if we're going to meet the Lord's goodness, is to be through His entrance. So I leave you with this tonight. I hope that when all else is done, that you walk away from this meeting saying, you know what? There's a tremendous God in my life. He's got a supply right there beside me. No matter where I go, no matter what valley I'm in, there's going to be wells of springing water in that valley. No matter the depths of the trouble I'm in, there's going to be rich, fertile, or dipped in His grace. He did the undoable. Praise the Lord. But I leave you also with this tonight. That doesn't just happen by chance. It happens because a soul determines internally, I want you to be my Lord. And I'm willing to repent. In other words, turn 180 degrees from anything else to you. And I'm willing to receive you as my Lord and Savior. And on top of that, I'm going to live for you. Not sure what all that might entail. I'm in all the way to the end. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, and I've referenced these a few times, so please don't, I won't go through them all, but verse 9, verse 10, was it verse 11? Verse 12, they all say these things. I'm going to remind you of these things. I need you to remember these things. Remember that? We did that the other night. I mean, he just kept pounding on these. And then he says this in verse 16, is it? He says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you. Those are sure word of prophecy. We're a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. What he's saying is, you're not seeing it, but you will. It's more, there's more coming. Are you with me? But look at what he just says in verse 13 that summarizes or captures that. He says, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up, putting in you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. What he's saying, I'm about to die. And there's a day star dawning. There's a tomorrow, there's a future, there's a more sure word of prophecy. His eyes, folks, he's looking at the last breaths, the last days, his last moments on this planet, and he's leaving you and I with a very solid confidence. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small. I forgot the words. When we see Christ, one glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. He's worth it. Keep in the fight. If you don't know Him, see the preacher. See his wife tonight. Say, I want to know Him. I want to know the Lord. Don't leave this planet lost. It's a terrible mistake. If you know the Lord, stick in the fight. Hang in there. Don't let Satan rattle you. Amen. Pastor, I'm going to close in prayer and turn it right over.